Blame me, you know, I voted for the other guy, you know, gas prices are going up, say goodbye to the internal combustion engine, hold on, let me turn your microphone on, what did you say, honey?
I said no voter regret here.
Yeah, you know, well, you get what you pay for. Okay, now your microphone is live. Live! It's alive, ladies and gentlemen. Well,
so we hope.
So we hope. Well, you're looking perky tonight. You're looking beautiful in that tight, tight sweater, which you better only wear around me. Okay?
Yeah.
Yes, my, well, it's the A-team, ladies and gentlemen. And we take that very seriously here. What does the A-team mean, sweetheart?
Alan and Angela.
Right. It's A and A. And we pretty much do everything together. We're pretty inseparable, husband and wife, which is really, ladies and gentlemen, the way it should be. And we run the stations together, and we, you know, bounce everything from all the resumes and...
Which is exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we bounce all the resumes and everything that we've been getting for engineering help. We did something a little different. We emailed Larry a couple of days ago and asked him to post up on the WBCQ.com website that we're looking for engineers. And specifically to work up at the Superstation site in northern Maine. And, you know, we're serious about it. We have a 500 kilowatt brand new facility up there that's been in operation for a little over a year. And we have engineers up there now, but we need more. So, and we've, you know, gotten a few folks, surprisingly.
Excitingly,
that have emailed us and with their resumes and stuff. And we're, you know, going to check them out and hopefully we'll hire somebody.
It'd be nice.
To work up at the world's superstation.
They could use help.
Right, as an engineer. Now, what we mean as an engineer, we mean somebody that can fix radio transmitters. Yeah. You know, somebody that can replace power supplies in computers is a nice, you know, it's good that someone has that knowledge. But we have, you know, big radio transmitters that operate on tens of thousands of volts and hundreds of amperes. And they're great to work on, but they take special skills. Mm-hmm. So yeah. We're looking for folks that are have at least some knowledge of working on radio transmitting equipment, especially vacuum tubes, because all of our shortwave transmitters are vacuum tubed. And, you know, you got to have some knowledge of tube circuits. Yes, this, I think, is the BCQ line. Hi, you're on the air.
You're on WBCQ?
Oh, what do you know? Yeah. It's Frederick, yes.
Yeah!
Holy
yes,
dumb.
From
you,
the...
You cosmopolitan seagull sniffed in Allegheny mountain lion husky?
Well, there you go. It's good old Freddy calling from the People's Republic of Masshole Chewitz. There you go.
North Hadley.
Well, haven't heard from you in a while, Freddie. Angela's here. I'm here.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Yeah, right. The A team is here. So, what's on your mind tonight?
What's on my mind?
Yes.
I'm gonna have another beer.
Oh, okay.
What's always on your mind?
Well.
Hey, remember when I used to call you years ago, and you used to go, "Are you drunk?"
Well, no. What I used to specifically say is, "Freddie, how many beers have you had before you called the show?"
Right.
So, how many beers have you had, Freddie, before you called Angela and Alan Wiener Worldwide?
I don't know.
Oh! You don't know. I see.
Okay. There we go. All right, I got my speaker on now.
Okay, so you don't know. Well, that probably means more than two. Well, anyway, Freddie.
Are you still in Florida?
We are still in Florida, yes. We are still in Florida.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, you know, we've just opened the show. Yeah, right, we're waiting for that, too. I don't know. We just opened the show talking about... What are we going to talk about tonight? What are we talking about now?
Yeah, well...
Mm-hmm. You know, look, as you know...
Radio engineers.
Look. What are we
going to
talk about?
Well, we were talking about radio engineers.
Well, we were talking about radio engineers, and we're looking to hire radio engineers for the WBCQs. So we were talking about that. You know, we'll probably get a little bit political, maybe talk about some other station issues. Of course, email is open, dear listeners, wbcq@wbcq.com. You're welcome to email us with any of your comments or questions. And that's it, pretty much it. You know, I don't know. We just let the go show. We just let the show go, or the go show. We let the go show.
You know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to try to pick you up on 6160.
Yes, we are on 6160, and that is broadcasting. I can see. And 7490 is on the air because we're monitoring it down here in the land of Flaw. So we are broadcasting away on those two frequencies. Yes, we are.
I gotta pick you up off the internet.
Oh. Oh, okay. Skipping over you, huh?
Listen. This is 6160 right now.
Right.
Oh, not good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you know, yeah. WBCQ.com. You can always stream the board feed live. as we've been doing for quite a while. So we're all set there. All right, well, look, Freddie.
I want to tell you, Alan, can you talk about some radio stuff tonight?
Well, we started talking about radio stuff. We're talking about, you know, trying to hire some engineers that can fix radio transmitters.
And you were talking about...
You know, I don't know how much more radio I can get than talking about that. You know, and I've got some other stuff.
I love when you talk about radio and your transmitters. And what is that transmitter you got, the big one there, a 401D?
Oh, the 420? Yeah, the 420. The Continental, the 500 kilowatt transmitter that we use on 9330 is a 500 kilowatt Continental Type 420. That's what that is.
420B,
yes.
I thought it was.
Yeah, 420B or C. I forgot which model it, you know, which market it is.
Maybe the 420 is why it's so jinxed.
Yeah, really. But anyway, we'll talk about some.
How's that thing going? Is that thing working okay?
Actually, it is. I mean, we had a heat exchanger issue the last week or so, where one of the heat exchanger pipes got clogged, and we had to have some people come in there and pull the strainers and unclog it, which they did, and now it's running nice and cool as a cucumber and doing good, but. You know, the transmitter is very big, and it has everything. It's got tubes, it's got water cooling, it's got pumps, it's got air, it's got, you know, solenoids, it's got relays, it's got computers, it's got every conceivable nightmare that needs to be repaired and watched that you can possibly stick in a piece of electronic equipment.
But laid out nicely in a nice facility.
Right, but laid out nicely in a beautiful transmitter facility. And it's probably one of the nicest transmitter facilities on the planet, which a lot of people might not know. They might not know that. Mm. Angela and I built a very nice transmitter facility. It's probably one of the nicest ones.
I'm sorry. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
All right. What is the tube, the main transmitter tube in that transmitter?
It's a phallus. Let me see. I might have it here. It's probably on. Let's see. Older. Let me do this. Let me see if I've got a quote, because we need to order a new thallus tube, and I forgot what it is.
What, the backup?
Oh, and it is
yeah.
D. I just seen the 420D.
Yeah, a backup.
Oh, it's
a,
okay.
No, I mean for the transmitter.
Oh, yeah, it's a 420. All right, the transmitter is a 420D. Okay. Yeah. And I can't... I thought I had the quote here. All right. I'm looking on the email, and I'm not finding it. No, that ain't it.
Spare parts quote?
No, let me see. This is newer. And let's see. No, I don't have it. I forgot. It's a thallus tetrode, and... new, they cost about, what was the quote I got on them? The PA tube is, it's, it's like $120,000 or something like that. I forgot.
Big and fancy.
I forgot. Yeah, it's big and fancy, you know, it's an expensive, the big power tetrodes for super power transmitters are pretty much custom built. And they're very, very, very expensive. They can last a long time. They can last literally, with proper filament management, they can literally last a decade. But they're bloody damn expensive. They're not cheap.
It's the delivery scary, too.
Yeah. Well, everything's COVIDated, so, yeah. You know, delivery, I mean, we've got some equipment on order that'll probably take 4 or 5 months to get delivered. You know, everything is COVIDated now. So we live in a COVIDated world, so...
COVIDated, or is that the new normal?
Yes, the new normal is COVIDation.
Yeah, good luck getting anything done.
It's, you know, like when you get into specific things like specialty products and stuff like that, everything has been COVIDated. So it's just the way it is. You know, you go to order something special, like transmitter parts or whatever, it's all COVIDated. So who knows when you're going to get it? Who knows what it's going to cost? And that's just the world now. That's just the way the Chinese wanted to do it, and that's what they did. And, you know, the only problem is I think a bit of it has backfired in their face, and they'll probably end up wiping out their own civilization. But so be it. If that's what the Lord plans, then let it be so.
Save us trouble.
Yeah, save us a lot of trouble.
Wow.
But that's just...
I can't believe what you just said. I can't believe that.
Well, you know, as a student of science and history, do you know that a great majority of all the pestilence and diseases and plagues and viruses have originated from China? And I would not want that reputation. I just wouldn't. I don't like the Chinese.
Now they got that. African one there.
Now, just so we make a statement, I really, you know, respect the Chinese people and their, you know, many thousand year old culture. I hate the Chinese Communist Party and what they are doing to the world, all for their power and greed.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is, and if you look around, folks, it affects every single thing on the planet, every political system, every ecological system, every niche, every corner, and it's not good, and it's getting worse. And I don't know where it's going to lead, but as a broadcaster, it is important that we are aware of it. Okay, that's step number one. Know thine enemy. Thine enemy is communism. It always has been, and it always will be, the enemy of a free and open republic. So you have to know your enemy. And then once you define it, you can watch it and see what it does. And we are giving away our privacy. We are giving away our information. We are giving away our votes. We are giving away our political process. We are giving away everything.
Especially
and
free speech.
We're giving away, well, we're compromising our free speech to the point it's almost going to be just a matter of time before WBCQ, probably the world's last free speech radio station, is squelched. So I don't know when it's going to happen, but this is the way the world is
going.
There's
good people out there stopping it.
Yeah, but there's not enough good people out there stopping it. And there's not enough good people with good backing and influence and power and whatever. And, you know, we pray every night. I hope and pray he's listening. You know, our creator, I hope he's listening. Sometimes he chooses not to, you know. We might be on our own, and if we are, we're doing a pretty piss-poor crap job of it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Freddie, I'm going to let you go. You have an enjoyable evening and weekend, and we'll catch you back here again sometime in the near future, okay? You be well, but
very good. Get along with your soul there. Yeah. And hi, Angela.
Hi, have a good night.
Hi, Angela. I just wanted to tell you I really enjoy your programs.
Okay. Oh, good.
On WBCQ.
Okay, well,
I'm not on WBCQ anymore. I still enjoy your programs.
Well, you keep listening, Freddie, and God bless you all, and be well, and we'll talk with you later.
Yeah, good night.
Okay, good night. Yep.
Okay, bye.
All righty. Well, Freddie checks in on the hotline here. I'll give the number out, 207-538-9180. 207-538-9180. 9180. That's been the phone number, and it's probably one of the last copper pairs in the world, as far as telephones are concerned. But yeah, back to the, if you check the website out, we put up a kind of an ad looking for some engineering help, and we've gotten some folks here, and basically, it's an easy procedure. If you're interested, and we think you might be interested in dealing with the station. You know, we usually invite contestants or applicants. Yeah, might as well be contestants to, you know, visit the place. Of course, you know, everything's COVIDated now, so, you know, you need to have a vaccine or a COVID test or something like that before you visit the radio station. You know, it's just the way it is now. Everything's COVIDated, folks, and good luck trying to get a vaccine. That's been all botched and screwed up from the onset. You know, it's just amazing.
How is that even? I mean,
it's just incredible.
I mean, give me a break.
You know, I mean, the government gets trillions and trillions of dollars from us, the we people. And
you mean the ones that own the White House?
Yeah, the ones that own the Capitol and the White House, right? Yeah, right, sure. Yeah. They're tearing down the walls to keep the slime, you know, and crime from storming our country. But I guess they're building walls around the people's structures in Washington, D.C. Ooh, they got scared, huh? Ooh, yeah, they got real scared there. Yep. People actually are rising up and getting pissed off. Not that we condone violence. We don't. But
come on.
You know, yeah, you got to think
treason
about it.
Treason might take some
harsh
talking, at least.
Allen's first law so states that everything we do in life, and I mean everything, has consequences. And that's just the way it is. And if you've got a lot of people, you know, millions and millions of people concerned and upset, you know, things are going to happen.
They watched a robbery, the biggest robbery, blatant in history.
Well, maybe we should stick with the radio stuff.
Yeah, you probably should.
You know, so yeah, because there was a commentary in Radio World. We get the Radio World excerpts here because we're a broadcast station, and it's an interesting commentary. You know, it's entitled "The Old Goats Are Going Away." Would you consider me an old goat? Am I an old goat? Yeah, I guess I am. I guess I'm an old goat. I'm only 70 years old, so I'm an old fart. You know, I have a young wife. What can I do? I'm not stupid, that's for sure. Anyway, now this is from Ron Schacht. Am I saying that right? Schacht? Is that how you say his last name?
I'd say so.
Yeah, yeah. Schacht. He wrote an article for Radio World, and it's interesting, you know, because we're concerned about it. He says, I'll read a little bit of it. He says, "I see trouble ahead in our business." That's us, the broadcasting business. "In the shortage of qualified broadcast engineers. I am not speaking of IT people. I am speaking of a guy in a t-shirt and jeans who gets to the transmitter, looks for the problem, reads the schematics, crawls inside the box, and replaces R16, R17, C232, and Q4, and the music again blares forth. We are losing those guys every day, and they are being replaced by the guy who walks into the site, looks at the box, grabs his cell phone, calls Nortel or Broadcast Electronics to find out which board to pull, and ships it back while waiting for a loaner to get the rig going. I never thought of myself as an old-timer. Starting in the business in 1963, old-timers were the guys I learned from, mostly World War II graduates. They knew everything about audio and RF. I wish I knew a tenth as much as they did. My first real bit of engineering was converting a 50-kilowatt FM station to stereo in 1963. No one listened to FM back then. I think there were 10 FM radios in the city, and 5 were in Cadillacs owned by mob hitmen. I remember putting the stereo generator in an 8-foot rack. It took up 4 feet of rack space, had enough 12 AU7s in it to heat the building. It had two outputs, one L plus R that went into the phase modulator of the sinusoidal exciter, and the L minus R output that went into the exciter. About 200 multipliers later, the crystal frequency was multiplied 864 times. Sounds like a Gates exciter. It was a technical nightmare to compare to mono FM. Getting two matched phase phone lines from the studio to the transmitter over three exchanges was another task. But we were stereo most of the time. The FCC had a rule that if you weren't transmitting stereophonic program material for more than a certain length of time, you had to shut the stereo pilot off so not as to mislead the 10 listeners by illuminating their stereo beacons. Remember the stereo beacon light? So the pilot on-off was wired into the old Rust remote control so the studio could turn it off when a monophonic recording of a symphony played. Times changed, and we wound up with an RF studio transmitter leak, transmitter link, stereo generators on a single chip, CD players, computers, and lots of stuff made in foreign countries that wasn't worth fixing or whose parts were not available. So when they broke, they wound up on a shelf at the transmitter site. Today, many stations have guys who can swap XLRs or RCA plugs from one item to another. But we also still have transmitters, antennas, phasers, and all of the other sundry items that make a radio broadcast station distinct from an internet music source. I don't call internet streams radio stations because you can't have radio without radiating. When we talk of RF, we talk of a whole lot more than 5 volts, maybe 3,000 times that. And a whole lot of amps, both DC and radio frequency. Sending in an IT guy to do that is like sending a 90-year-old woman into the Indy 500 with her Buick LeSabre. She ain't gonna win, and she probably will die trying. One of the problems is lack of interest. When I was young, I got a ham license at 12. Built my own CW rig with 6L6s, turned it into a phone ring rig with another 6L6 and a Heising choke, built a super regenerative receiver, and went on 80, 75, and 40 meters. Parts from a few old television chassis and old radios my dad brought home, parts from a military surplus store down the road in 1960, there was still a lot of World War II surplus around. This is what we used. Try that today. There are no radios or television sets with good parts or even worth trying to get parts from. There is limited surplus, and most of the corner parts stores are gone. You can't even build a Heath kit anymore. A few years ago, I built a guitar amplifier for my son. What a project! Just to find an octal tube socket for the 6L6s took forever. And kids have no interest in this kind of stuff anymore. We all, especially big conglomerates who own most of the broadcast stations, have to make a concerted effort to get high school and college kids interested in broadcast engineering as a career. Get them interested, get them educated, best by shadowing an old goat who can show them the tricks of the trade. Yes, an EE degree, electrical engineering, is great to learn Kitchoff's law, but Kitchoff never spent several hours at 3 a.m. looking into a dead HT25. The likelihood is the old goat will tell the youth that he should probably look at the screen blocker Kapton ring, a lesson the youth is likely not to forget. Broadcasters have to realize that us old goats are going away, and they had better not only get the youth trained to take over, but make the pay comparative to working in an office as an IT manager so they don't just do that. We, the limited number of old timers who learned from the old timers and through the wisdom of age and smelly fingers from getting too close to the antenna tuning unit coils, have to keep alert for anyone who might express the slightest interest in our business. I ask around schools, especially the science teachers, if they have any students who seem interested in electronics. We have to persuade them, nurture them, and tell them lies. Don't mention having to walk into a remote site at 2 a.m. in a blizzard with the temperature at 30 below zero. Tell them they will have a job for the rest of their life. They can't ship their job off to China or India or wherever. At least, if we all make an effort to replace ourselves, things at least will stay status quo. If our ranks aren't refilled soon, the radio dials are going to start to get really, really quiet. Okay.
Well,
there you go.
My first comment is seeing this coming, you know, down the line. This is now.
I know this is now. And we're trying.
This is now.
You know, we're trying. We're trying. You know, at BCQ, we've reached out to our employees and we've told them that if they need or if they want any further education in electronics or any of the applied fields, we'll pay for it gladly. You know, because there are, you know, in all fairness, there are some young people that are interested in electronics. Now, granted, they might not be interested in, you know, boxes with plate supplies of 15,000 volts at 50 amps right off the bat. That takes a little bit. Well, I'll tell you, working on big transmitters, it takes a burning interest, no pun intended there, and it does take a bit of chutzpah. It does, because the things are big, and they can be intimidating. But the interesting thing about radio transmitters and any electronic device is you break it down. You break it down into subsystems. You know, when I first started, your husband was in electronics, was totally self-taught. I did not have the proverbial old goat, Elmer, apprenticed to. I did it the old-fashioned way.
A good sense of where not to stick your finger.
Well, no, what I did was, as a kid, I went to the public library. Mm. And I took out books on broadcasting, radio transmitters, radio receivers, you know, all the McGraw-Hill series, which had books like that, radio transmitters, radio receivers, transmitting tube. I mean, I used to, I mentioned this before, I was usually too young to go into the technical and business section at the public library down in Getty Square in New York, in Yonkers, New York. And my father would let me use his library card because I was just too young. You know, they wouldn't. He'd have to come with me and check it out. But I'd go back with stacks of these books, and I'd bring them home and I'd lay them out on my bed in my bedroom and I'd start reading them. And I remember it wasn't the easiest thing, you know, getting through like some of the electronic and electrical theory. You know, exactly how tubes work and power supplies and how a broadcast transmitter works, you know, an AM transmitter with the modulators and FM transmitter with the reactance tube and phase lock loops and all this crap. And, I mean, you know, here I am. I'm a kid in sixth and seventh grade, and I'm trying to discern that. But that's how I did it. You know, I never went to school specifically for electronics. I never went to school specifically for broadcasting. I really did teach myself in that. Hi, you're on WBCQ. You're live and on the air.
Oh, evening, Alan. How are you tonight?
We are fine. We are fine. What's on your mind? Who do we have here?
Well, this is Bill in Parker, Arizona.
Hi, Bill in Parker, Arizona.
And I was just curious if the superstation is as down as hard as it sounded like it went down.
I'm looking at the monitor here, and I'm not sure if it's on the air or not. Sometimes at night, when they swing the antenna away from us, there ain't much signal.
Oh, that's right. You're not actually up there. I keep forgetting that.
No, we are broadcasting out of the land of Fla. So
when it signed on tonight, it was good and solid and steady, and then it was gone.
Yeah. Well, at 8 o'clock, at eight p.m. Eastern, there is an antenna change, and they shut down, and they slew the antenna, and then they fire up again.
Yeah. And, well, I was talking about after that.
Yeah, and
It came on at its usual time. Can anyone take that antenna when it's energized?
No. The antenna must go down.
I didn't think they could.
Yeah,
I didn't think they could.
Now they could I don't know what the schedule is. They could be doing maintenance. I don't know. I don't know what the schedule is at the site. They could be doing some maintenance. Sometimes they do maintenance in the evening. You know, they take something down to clean something or whatever. We had some strainer and filter issues during the week, so I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
Would they not have a recording to run before they do that to let you know?
Generally, if they go down, they just go down. That's it. That's what they do up there.
Well, yeah. That's kind of a weird way of doing things.
I
used to be work at a transmitter as a transmitter engineer back in the late 70s at a 4-tower directional out here in Colorado. On Sunday night, we'd sign off.
Sure.
And we'd sign off for maintenance, and we would run a cart from the control room.
Right.
And see what we're signing off, and then boom, we're off.
By the way, that was a very common thing for radio stations, like in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Yeah,
Most stations would sign off at
midnight.
Right, on Sunday night, and they would do their, you know, proof of performances and, you know, cleaning the transmitter and checking the phasers and checking the ATUs for the AM stations and cleaning up. Yeah, I remember that. Now a lot of it's like 24 hours, and they don't quite do that much anymore. But that is the testing period too. Is a Sunday night from midnight to 6 a.m. That was a common thing among a lot of, especially AM radio stations back in the good old days, right, Bill? Right.
And that's when I got an awful lot of my on the job training, even though I wasn't being paid.
Right,
because I would be there at midnight when they shut the transmitter down.
Right,
and the chief engineer would come out to do that, and then I would help him clean the transmitter.
Oh, okay.
By that time, I'd also taken over almost all of the maintenance, even though I worked on Saturday and Sunday. I had taken on all of the routine maintenance at the station at the transmitter site because this was a remote site. But the thing is that, yeah, that's how I got most of my hands-on training was just in taking on stuff that I wanted to get inside things and see how they worked and learn how to troubleshoot them and learn how to maintain them and do all that stuff.
Right.
And that was absolutely being my first broadcast engineering job was also my most educational broadcast engineering job of my entire career because it gave me a chance to get my hands inside the equipment.
Sure.
And actually work on it, which is something that the vast majority of these new broadcast engineers, they have their certificates in IT. They don't have their certificates in radio engineering.
No, they don't. As I said, a lot of people that go into electronics don't necessarily go into the high-powered stuff. That's a very special field. And
I got my training in two-way radio, and I always said, you know, I'm learning how to fix the low-power stuff because the high-power stuff is just bigger. It works the same way.
It's exactly the same.
Everybody in my classes, they choke about, yeah, you just want me to go be a disc jockey. I said, I can care less about ever being in front of the microphone. I wasn't interested in being a disc jockey. I was interested in being a radio engineer, and that's the way I wound up. Unfortunately, my career went from there up and then gradually stepped down through three chief engineering jobs in Wyoming, New Mexico, and Texas, I made less each time, and they always, and after I had shown up, and you know, the first time it was finishing putting in a 5 kilowatt transmitter. The second time was in actually installing a 22 kilowatt FM transmitter. And the third time it was they wanted my experience in doing FM radio station applications. Because the owner of the station had put together a junkyard station AM and a junkyard station FM, and she decided she wanted a low-power TV station, not realizing that there is no such thing as used low-power TV equipment. So basically, I was about halfway through doing the application for low-power TV was the same thing as FM. They're in almost the same frequency. Well, they're in the same frequency range. And you have the antenna and height above terrain and not same thing.
Yeah, it's similar. Yeah, the frequencies are similar in the low band. Yes.
In any case, I got about halfway through the paperwork before I started deciding, well, it's looking like I'm going to be chief engineer of a low-power TV station, so I probably better start getting myself some allies. And the best allies you can have in the broadcast engineering business, if you're going to learn something new, are the people that are selling you the new equipment. Because they want to get on your good side so you remember them when it's time to spend some more money.
And
I put together a good, better, best list. And the good list started at about, I think it was about $400,000. And I think the best list got her up to about $800,000. And I made the mistake of showing her the list because a week later I was unemployed.
Wow.
She decided she didn't want to spend that kind of money just to have a TV station. And I lost a job after basically put out all of her fires, got her sounding better than she'd ever sounded before, and taking care of long-term problems that... simply nobody was around. There was nobody else around that could do that in the county.
Yeah, well, and, I'll tell you, Bill, that's part of the underappreciation of the broadcast engineers.
Yeah, you got that. That's a very nice euphemistic way to put it.
No, it's true. I mean, broadcast engineers have always been a little bit underappreciated by the many stations that they work for.
And my experience was they were basically just poorly paid slaves that happened to know more than anybody else in the station about how to keep the damn thing on the air.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I miss the career, but, no big deal. Actually, of all the things I've done in broadcast in electronics and radio electronics, I'd have to say that my current experience with being a radio amateur is a whole lot more disappointing than my broadcast engineering was.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because most of the people in amateur radio today are what are called appliance operators.
Yeah, appliance
they're
amateurs.
Like,
yeah,
they're like CBers.
I know
they go out, they buy their equipment, they hook it up, they get on there and they talk, and if it breaks, they don't have any idea how to be.
Appliance operators, yeah, I know. Yeah. I know there are fewer people rolling their own, you know, building a transmitter.
Yeah.
But no, there are people that still roll their own. There are. It's not like it used to be because the equipment, you know, there was a time, dear listeners, that electronic equipment was extremely expensive, especially test equipment.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why people had to make their own, or, you know, in the 50s and 60s, a lot of people chose to build their own, like, test equipment and ham gear from kits. You remember the kit era? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. I put together a yeast kit while I was at work one day.
Yeah, you know, where you buy a kit where if you build it yourself, you could save, you know, sometimes hundreds of dollars putting it together yourself. So those days are gone. I mean, there are kits out there. There are electronic kits that you can buy to educate yourself, and there still is stuff like that. But it's not like the kit-building craze. I mean, I remember in the 60s, you could build yourself an entire color television set, and that was quite something. Well, anyway, Bill, thank you for checking in. and keep listening, and you know, keep playing with those 6L6s and 250 THs and all that stuff.
I'm still a very active shortwave listener.
Good.
And so as a consequence, I got plenty to do.
Good. Well, listen, you be well, and thanks for checking in.
Me too. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. All right. Yeah, but, you know, quite honestly, Dolan, a lot of us engineers in this field kind of have been self-taught. You know, because I don't know, when I was in school and whatever, there really weren't any, you know, engineering schools per se. I mean, there were vocational technical institutes, there still are. And then I remember in the 40s and 50s and 60s and whatever, there were the correspondence schools. Did you ever hear about them?
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you could pretty much right away. You know, it's interesting now because a lot of us, in this, you know, crazy, weird China virus thing, are almost going back to those days, you know. But instead of correspondence, in other words, they mail you, they mail you lessons in the mail that you take, and then you send back these tests, and they, you know, tell you what you've done wrong, grade you. But in that, now it's the computer. And unfortunately, they are finding out that all the school, you know, the school lockdowns and everything, which in many cases are not that necessary, are not working out well. In other words, not all kids and people are doing well studying at home. They really do need the interaction of a three-dimensional world to learn. It works for some things, but not for all. But anyway, but that's what we're doing. So, you know, if you're interested, you can always send us a resume if you'd like to work at the World Superstation. And Jason did check in with us, and he said that the Superstation, so Bill, if you're listening, the Superstation is currently down. Tom found that we're leaking water onto the floor near the tube area, and Tom is looking into it. You see, this is what we have to deal with this thing. You know, it honestly is a water-cooled nightmare in many ways. Everything in this transmitter is water-cooled. The vacuum capacitors are water-cooled. The coils are water-cooled. The diodes that rectify the AC to DC for the filaments of the PA tube are water-cooled. I mean, of course, the PA tube is water-cooled. The driver tube is water-cooled. Everything is water-cooled, and I understand why. You know, to make the box, I'm actually a fan of air, there you go, no pun intended. I'm actually a fan of air cooling, but the problem with air cooling is the stuff tends to be a lot bigger because you got to have more surface area, you know, for air to flow around it and take the heat away. Water cooling can make things a heck of a lot smaller, because you've got all this water going across the inside of it or the surface of it, keeping it cool. So we understand that. We understand the technology of it. But still, so that's that. Anyway, WBCQ at WBCQ.com, WBCQ at WBCQ.com. Some emails are coming in. What else we got to talk about? What's on your mind, honey? You know, what's cooking? What do you think?
I don't know, but your air cool might be bigger, but your troubles are with water.
Oh, yeah. Well, think about it. Think about it.
I don't like thinking about it.
A transmitter that basically has a 14,000-volt plate at up to 50 amperes of plate current.
And a river runs
through
it.
You know, and literally a river runs through it. No, really, literally a river runs through it. I mean, it's insulated and it's, you know, protected, but these are the unique problems, you know. But really, as a transmitter engineer, it's like anything else. You just have to break things down system by system. And even with the big 420, what was it, 420D?
Mm-hmm.
The big Continental 420D, you know, it has several systems. And some of it's divided, and you know, different cabinets. There's a contactor cabinet. There's a intermediate power supply cabinet. There's the main high voltage plate supply cabinet, which is 48, you know, 800 volt supplies, kind of all run in a series arrangement that's, you know, multiple step modulated by a computer that tells all these little power supplies when to go on, when to go off, which gives you your AM envelope. That's one of the modulator is like 95% efficient, which makes the, you know, because a 500 kilowatt transmitter, if you did it the old way with mod transformers and, you know, three to four, you know, big vacuum tubes would be, it would be twice to, you know, three times the size of what it is now, you know, with the given technology that we have now. So it's, you know, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, there's no free lunch, and even though the transmitters are smaller and more compact and more efficient, their control is very complicated. And again, you know, you got to be a plumber, an electrician, an electronics engineer, and a computer guy to deal with the new boxes. The older transmitters at BCQ are a lot more forgiving. They're air-cooled, and they basically just use relay logic. And you know what relay logic is, right? You worked a bunch with that at the mills, right? You know, where we have electromagnetic. Pardon?
And watch you build them.
Yes. You know, we have electromagnetic relays that turn things on, turn things off, delay things. You know, safety.
I still like that. Oh, I'm never going to... I have a mantle block. What did you call that? That switch that...
Oh, the anti... anti-death relay?
Relay, yeah.
Yes, when pretty cool. We were working on a transmitter this fall, back in September, and actually designing a power supply specifically for it that wasn't original to it. And, you know, when you engineer things and you design stuff that has, like that transmitter has about 10,000 volts going through it at, you know, about 10 amps, 12 amps. And it has a lot of capacitors in it. So you got to build circuits to discharge the capacitors when things drop or things overload or you turn the power off, because if you don't do that, you could, that kills, and that has killed a lot of engineers.
Well, yeah.
Is that, yes.
You've had your...
I've had my
comeuppance. Should have known better.
Yes. That can kill a lot of engineers. The residual storage in the gigantic filter banks of a large old transmitter. And if you're not careful and you don't discharge stuff, you can get really... Well, you can die.
Think about it. If the power goes out in the house, are you immediately going to go grab a paperclip and stick it in the light socket?
No,
you're not.
Well, there can be a little residual.
I call it ghost power.
And ghost power.
Well, that's what I call it. It's off.
Ghost power.
It sits there. And that, to me, is why so much electronic equipment gets confused. Because... power goes off, but there's still power there. Then power goes on. And even in the electronic equipment, to me, there's still, again, knowing you, how you usually are working with the cover off, even if you unplug it immediately, you may not put your finger here or there.
That is correct. And dummy here has done it many times and zapped
himself. I consider electricity almost not a living being, but
it's a force.
An entity.
It's a power force. And it's to be respected.
Because we can't see it.
You can't
Anything
see it.
Anything we can't
you can
see
feel it,
is what's dangerous.
Yes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are... this is Angela and Alan Wiener Worldwide. It is the 29th day of January in the year of our Lord 2021. We're broadcasting from studio number 9 here in the land of Fla in beautiful Florida, which has been bloody cold. Sunny, pleasant, but chilly. We had a frost last night.
Yeah, it was 39 degrees this morning.
Right now it's 48 degrees Fahrenheit, 75% humidity, winds about 3 miles an hour or less out of the north. And it's going to go down to 42 degrees. It'll probably get colder than that. It has been annoyingly cooler here this January than we have seen in many years. So,
and wish it to not be.
You know, so anyways, in so much as global warming is concerned, who knows? what can we say? But, yeah, by the way, in some ways, you know, it's funny, seeing electricity, we can see its effects.
Same as the wind. You can't really see the wind, but you can see the effect of it blowing sand.
Well, you can sometimes see electrical discharge, like electrical discharges.
Well, it is lightning.
Are electrons ionizing
or
the air?
Just the heat lightning, or with the clouds just kind of.
Yeah. Well, lightning. Lightning is a good visual.
I just meant you
can't see it in a wire.
Along the cord.
No, you can't.
It doesn't give you a fill line. You know?
And that's what makes it very deadly. Like
because you can't.
You shut a transmitter down, and the transmitter looks the same. And you open the cabinets up, and if things aren't discharged properly, you know, everything looks the same. But if you touch it, there's all these electrons, you know, floating on the surface there with a potential behind them. And they will kick you on your ass and sometimes kill you. So that, you know, that's the other side of that's like anything. You know, if you work on machinery, even cars and whatever, you know, you have to be careful. You got to be very, very, you have to work safe. You have to work safe. Some lessons that moi has learned. Generally, when you work on high power transmitters, you shouldn't be alone. That's number one. You should not work tired. And forget it with any chemical stimulation. Forget it. I mean, drinks, pot, you know, booze, drugs, whatever. No. You've got to have all faculties 100% or you will die working on a high-powered box. But anyway, we got some emails coming in here, so let's check them out. This comes in.
Pardon?
I just read on the ADL website you support hate. Can you please explain yourself? I have no idea, you know. Support hate. Be very careful of your judgment. But the Anti-Defamation League, I don't know what ADL is. Be very careful of your judgment because you got to be careful. You know, we don't support hate
what the hell
here.
How are you talking about?
I don't know. These people are nuts. All right. April checks in. Dear ANA, 7490 webcast not available. Area 51 working. Gee, I wonder why so many people seem to be interested in shortwave. 7490 not audible where I am right now in Western Kentucky. All right. Well, thank you, April, for that report. Scott checks in. He says, hey, Alan and Angela, listening here in New Hampshire, USA, really appreciated your real radio mini monologue regarding old goats. We all need to let this old model go. I work in professional two-way radio, and I will tell you that there are still... Oh, okay. Just got a text from Jason, but it's an important text. Oh, yeah, all right. It's leaking in the manifold area. All right, well, it's leaking in the manifold area, guys, so go search it out, and you might have to tighten or replace or put another crimp fitting in there. So where's Jeff? That's my only question. All right, anyway.
I always told you that was a nightmare. As soon as that cabinet...
Oh, I know, I know.
The first time I said, oh, my God.
Well, at least it wasn't leaking on the PA tube
again,
because that's disaster. Okay. All right, continuing with Scott... I work in professional two-way, and I will tell you that there are still a few younger people who are into this stuff. I work with a few of them, 25-year-old, that really impresses me. You bet. So, it's not over till it's over. Geeks are the few and far between, always have been, and still are. Peace, Scott in New Hampshire. Well, bless you, Scott.
Well, they're the coolest.
And you're right.
Too, Scott.
And he's right. He's right. Okay. Please, let's all pray. Dear Father, dear Lord Christ our Savior, your help, your guidance are very important now. Our nation is in peril. Our world is always in peril. We are in peril. We need your guidance, your wisdom, your strength, so we may continue forth with freedom and we may take good care of each other and spread peace and love and understanding throughout the world, as we try to make your beautiful planet and your beautiful world better for all the living creatures upon it. This we shall do, Lord Father in heaven. by your blessings and grace upon us. Please keep us, and please keep your grace upon us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please go to our website, WBCQ.com, and check out all the possibilities that are there. If you'd like to do a show, you can. And we got plenty of airtime available on all of our transmitters, with the exception of 9330, because that's all sold to World's Last Chance Ministries. But anyway, we'll get you on the air, easily, cheaply, and you'll be on a real transmitter radiating freedom, peace, love, and understanding to the world.
You bet. Big Balls Broadcasting.
You betcha, because it's all about
freedom. We'll never shut up.
We're never going to shut up. Angela, don't shut up.
I'll never shut up.
Okay, it's all about freedom.
This country and our dear President Donald Trump needs our help.
Yes, it's all about freedom, it's all about peace, it's all about understanding, and it's all about free speech, because this is the last free speech radio station.
WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA.